is the Go Blue Crew.
Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, you were at the Michigan UNLV game, and before we talk about it, since I sort of recapped my experience the week before at the opener, I thought it'd be appropriate if maybe you give us the rundown of how things looked for you with the new scoreboard, sound system, all of that, your game day experience.
Game day experience was good overall, good tailgate session. I sound sick. I was sick. So it was one of those pounding headache experiences for me. So that kind of played a role, obviously. Especially,
and I'm assuming you didn't drink anything, right?
No, I definitely
no alcohol for you.
Definitely did. but that played into the my excitement in the second half as I had a headache and the game got a little bit more boring. Especially heading into the fourth quarter. But I can confirm some things that you kind of hit on last week.
Good. Okay.
I was in section 19, kind of right before the corner on the Michigan sideline. Same size as the student section, kind of curves. And yeah, that, what would it be? The south scoreboard then?
I don't even know.
The scoreboard with the sound is very quiet, especially when the MC dude tries to, get people going or, hey, I'm here with so-and-so who's going to field punts for a $500 gift card. By the way, did they do that week one? Where they kind of used the gun.
The dude on the jugs machine shoots it out.
Yeah.
Kept sending it 50 yards downfield.
So I've seen that now, a handful of times, especially with all the games I went to last year. And I know we went to a game together. I can't remember if they did that or not when we went 2 years ago. So maybe it was a last year thing. But they I felt like the jug, tossed some pretty fair balls, but the guy this past weekend, he hit the Heisman pose after the first one. Caught the first one, hit the Heisman pose. And of course, like everybody could have predicted, dropped the second one.
Yeah.
Did recover it and hit the third, so I think he got the 150, but missed out on $500 because he got a little cocky. And so, a crowd, even though it's a Michigan fan and you don't want people to do well and win that money, you almost are kind of like, he deserved that. The poor dog, caught the frisbee probably 100 times.
Oh my God, that dog was out there when I was there.
Does not want to stop, fetching. But, you could definitely see the dog was slowing down. Got a cool little shot on the big new video board of him taking a nap in the second half. I do feel like the overlay was probably better for week two. I don't know if you saw any pictures, but instead of everything on that yellow or maize background, it was a blue background. I thought that looked really good with kind of like the border of the video board, kind of matched and kind of created this kind of seamless experience. But one thing I noticed, I never saw the rushing stats. It was only the total yards and passing yards. The flag banners are huge, like we talked about. And I can't stand the other team scores. It was only the Big Ten. It rotated very slowly. Obviously, the game that people were most interested about was probably Colorado-Nebraska. So you got to see that score if you didn't know the result of that game going into Michigan Stadium. But just felt like unneeded to have it up the whole time. But overall, I think they're really cool. The video is crisp. The intro was awesome. It feels like they're missing out on using some cool real estate for some other things. So that's my feedback. And then, just the audio. Like, the music sounds good. The other things that they're playing, the sound effects sound really good. But when that guy is on the microphone doing the MC kind of media timeout things, you cannot hear him if the crowd is loud. So kind of feel bad for that guy right there.
Yeah, and like I said last week, the whole thing is totally unnecessary.
He's not really, no offense to him or, the decision.
No, it's nothing personal.
It's not, maybe for the catching it from the jug or, standing with, maybe to introduce some of the Big Ten champs or the hero of the game, maybe stuff like that, you could better utilize them. But just overall, it's just not. It's not needed. It's not adding anything. And if you can't get the volumes right in terms of sound, then it's essentially useless.
Yeah. So for the game itself, 35-7, a Michigan win, another comfortable one. Like you said, got a little boring late. McCarthy looked fantastic again, and I'm sure we'll be talking about him. 22-25 for 278, another couple touchdowns. Blake Corum, I thought, looked a little better, 15-80. And he had three touchdowns, too. I mean, all up there pretty close, but good to see him back in the end zone. 5.3 a pop. Donovan Edwards, 6 carries, but I think a theme we're going to continue seeing throughout this season is Michigan is getting him involved in the passing game more and more, which is so smart. We've known this since he's arrived at Michigan, which is that he is a multidimensional back, not just somebody you turn around and hand the ball off to. He had 5 receptions, 26 yards, but the more you get him the ball, the better. And that is maybe the most obvious statement you can make about this team, but I really like what they're doing with Donovan Edwards. Roman Wilson, another couple of touchdowns. That guy is looking fantastic. 4 receptions, 89 yards. On the whole, I guess I just ran through all the offense there, but if you want to hit on defense, go ahead. But how did everything look to you? Because to me, like I said, crisp, got a little boring late. It's exactly the kind of thing that I think you're looking for from a number 2 ranked team against a team like UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really stuck out was how just good J.J. McCarthy is in comparison to last year. Again, had quite a few opportunities to see him in person last year, you know, being a first-year starter, and, you know, just his and again, it's against ECU and UNLV. But his presence in the pocket, you know, his ability to move, you know, whether he's hitting a check down or, you know, just throwing a laser through multiple defenders to Cornelius Johnson on the sideline, like, that was like a, you know, the whole crowd kind of gasped, like, whoa, like, that was a throw. And he's making a lot of those, and he's not missing very many throws. You know, the first throw he missed was just a really bad miscommunication, it looked like, with a young receiver. So I think the thing that stuck out the most was probably, you know, J.J. McCarthy's efficiency and just how much more comfortable and better he looks thus far. You know, I feel like Blake Corum kind of had a quiet 80. The friend I went with actually had put some, I think he put $50 on Corum going 81 yards. He scored that third touchdown, and you look up on the video board and it says, you know, however many carries, 15 carries, 80 yards, 3 touchdowns. He kind of looked at me. He's like, he's not going back beat. In, is he? And I was like, no, man, like he scored his third touchdown. It's late in the third quarter. He is done have lost your money. So yeah, definitely a bad beat. And I think, you know, one thing you really notice too, especially in person, as you would have seen last weekend, is, you know, you see the way they're trying to use Donovan Edwards. You see the way that they're putting both Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards out there. Donovan Edwards was not efficient at all in the run game, but, you know, made a couple of plays in the pass game. And so I think this run game will figure it out. You know, we touched on this, I think, 2 weeks in a row now. One was a guess, and then the second was kind of a follow-up of week one. But it's going to take a while for the line to really get things going in the run game. It's something that Harbaugh has addressed to the media, you know, even not even being able to coach. I thought the offense looked as seamless with Sherrone Moore back as it did with Kirk Campbell the week before when Sherrone Moore was suspended. And so I think we'll see, you know, some different things maybe against Bowling Green and especially moving forward. But there's one thing I'm pretty sure about is that J.J. McCarthy should continue to look really, really good, at least in week 3 against another very similar skilled opponent. And so defensive-wise, I thought they, you know, did just about everything we had hoped they would do after our discussion last week. You know, we talked about no sacks. I mean, there, it felt like sacks for everybody. It felt like a sack of possession.
5 of them.
I mean, just and for all the sacks that, you know, weren't complete. I mean, so many hurries, so many rushes, the quarterback, the running backs, you know, there's a lot of uncomfortable offensive players, and it just felt like the defensive line, the linebacking core, and then just the way the secondary has been locked down. Michigan's defense looks really good in person, and I think they look really, really deep. And I think that depth is all over. I think you literally see depth at every position, really, except for quarterback, which is scary. And I think that's something we maybe predicted going in. It was cool to see Jack Tuttle come in, quarterback keep, very electric play, really had the big house in awe. And then of course, unfortunately, a little bit of a late push out of bounds, injured his shoulder. So that was a little scary and silence fell over the crowd. But I guess if you're looking for anything moving forward, especially with the last non-conference game this weekend, you're looking for an answer at QB2, I guess.
Yeah, that is one good point, quarterback depth. Going back to J.J. McCarthy, I'm reminded, when we were kind of talking about what's the next step for Michigan, what's the next step for J.J. McCarthy, I don't know if we ever put a definition to that term. Probably not. It's very vague. We talk about it all the time in sports, the evolution of this team, this player, whatever. But it feels like we're seeing that from McCarthy. And I guess to me, he just looks so comfortable, like in command. Nothing is phasing him. He's stepping up into the pocket. Even when he's got a running lane, he's preferring to make the throw as long as it's there. I think that's one of the most positive things you could have said would happen for Michigan football this season, was that J.J. McCarthy, as good as he was last year, would find that next gear. And it's not, at least so far, anything like more electric. It's just he looks so much more settled into the offense and his skill set, which is so vast. So I think that has been, at least on the offensive side, the most encouraging thing, and has led to a great connection with Roman Wilson, and not to be forgotten, Cornelius Johnson. On defense, we talked about the sacks. Definitely, there were 5 of them this time. I thought, it was probably an overreaction coming off of the first game of the season to be like, where's Michigan's pass rush? Turns out we just had to give it another week, and it landed. It got home. And that's what you expect. This is a very good, talented defense with probably no weaknesses, really no weaknesses. That sounds a little like I feel like I shouldn't say that, but it just feels true. I think they're very good and up front, totally going to be fine. When we got a little sign of that against UNLV. Before we move on into sort of the rest of the college football world, anything you experienced, anything happened in this UNLV game you think we still got to talk about?
I mean, one of the things that just obviously I think is a big thing to take note of is just, more availability of a Will Johnson, some of these other guys who are injured. He saw some time out there, I don't even know if he recorded a stat. If I'm looking at, tackles, you didn't hear his name called over the intercom. And so, the biggest thing is that, you want as many guys to get reps in these games as possible. And obviously more than anything, you want people to stay healthy. And so hopefully Michigan can continue to have good health going into this week. But no, I mean, everything was expected, including them not covering in terms of, my outlook.
Okay, so the rest of college football week 2 was a lot of fun, highlighted by Texas-Alabama. That was such a good game. Did you get to catch that?
Yeah, that was, watched, maybe missed some of the beginning of it, but watched the entire rest of it, and it was an excellent game. One of the better games of the year for sure.
How about actually before, major college football is a lot of fun. I was late to watch that game, because I was watching the Indiana Wesleyan University Wildcats beat Valparaiso, an FCS school.
Wow.
How about that?
NAIA
represent.
Absolutely.
It was a good, close game.
Call them up.
It was a lot of fun. Florida State, big win over Southern Miss, not in terms of, I said that as though they beat like another top 5 team. I meant they won 66-13. The reason I bring that up is because through 2 weeks of the season, tell me how you feel about this, there just seem to be like a lot of really good teams. Count Michigan among them, Texas among them. I'm not going to like write off Alabama. That'd be stupid. But you got Florida State too. Ohio State looks fine. They haven't had those like traditional blowout wins, but you got to assume they'll be fine. USC put up 49 on Stanford in the first half, only went on to score another seven more, thankfully. Otherwise, I don't even know what would have happened. But I told you how I feel last week about Penn State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame got into a weird weather delay game, looked kind of shaky at first against North Carolina State, ended up pulling that one out pretty comfortably, and Penn State 63-7 over Delaware. Washington looked really good once again. Michael Penix Jr. Might be the first quarterback to 1,000 yards. Depends on Shedeur Sanders. Does he have him? I can't remember. I don't have all the stats right in front of me, but he's doing great out there. So that is kind of my takeaway through 2 weeks, is that there are just a lot of really good teams. And I don't know how you feel about Georgia, but I'd be okay if you wanted to say it's kind of like Georgia up there at the very top and then a solid group of teams right behind them, or if you want to lump everybody together. But either way, just so many good teams in college football this year.
Yeah, and it's early, and I was looking at kind of the games this weekend. There's not, you know, it's maybe not the most exciting,
this is boring
weekend in college football. And obviously a lot of these things will play out as they always do. But, you know, they're what I think in the AP poll, there's maybe two teams that even have a loss, and it's because they played an opponent that's, you know, a top 10 team. And so, or at least close to the top 10. But yeah, I think I'm right with you. We talked about Florida State last week, spent a little bit of time this week talking about Texas. I mean, that's a big win on the road, a game what felt like they could have maybe pulled out last year, but, you know, an injury to Ewers as a quarterback, and, you know, doesn't help. You know, Bryce Young obviously was a star for Alabama, maybe didn't have his best game early in the season in that one, but Alabama found a way to win it by way of field goal. So you've got to really like the way Texas performed and just how complete of a team they are. You know, Alabama's going to be good year after year as long as Nick Saban's around. They're always going to produce NFL talent. You can already see those young guys in the NFL doing things already in week one of the NFL season. And even like a Texas Tech, Texas A&M has a ton of talent, right? But they just can't seem to win the ball games. Yeah, Alabama's liable to lose.
That must be.
But still, the fact that you can be a star-studded roster in the way that you took control of that game obviously makes Texas legitimate. And then, you know, I'll throw USC, Ohio State, Penn State, and even Notre Dame into a category early of like, hey, you know, there's bigger games on schedules to come, but you can't really write them off for any reason at this point, even if you don't love, you know, every single aspect. You know, maybe USC is their defense, except for, you know, obviously last week, you know, Stanford's going to score.
Well, what does that count
right.
for?
Ohio State, you know, maybe you don't like what they have at quarterback compared to past years. You know, Penn State, maybe you could chalk it up to, you know, someone who's in a similar position as J.J. McCarthy last year. But look what J.J. McCarthy did last year with a complete team. And so, you know, Washington will have a big matchup, you know, probably what the biggest game of the week, just because of how things have gone down with Michigan State this week, you know, probably draw, you know, some of the most eyes for sure. But yeah, I think there's a lot of teams that are just right up there. So I'm with you. I think it's Georgia right at the top. I think the coaches, the AP, everybody has them almost unanimously first place. And then I think you could give first place votes to about, you know, any of the teams 2 through 10 at any given point so far this year.
The best thing about week three is that it gets us 1 week closer to Notre Dame, Ohio State. So that's really all there is to it. Yeah, you mentioned Michigan State Washington. So much going on there with the Michigan State program. Obviously, working with an interim head coach now, Mark D'Antonio will be back. Maybe on the sideline, maybe in the booth. It wasn't totally clear, but in some kind of capacity there. And you got to do all this against a really good Washington team. So this is in East Lansing. Washington is a 16-point favorite. I'm probably going to have that game up, and I'm really interested to see how that team responds. The other game I want to point out to you, Derek, is Iowa. Okay? Now, I can't for the life of me find it right now. But if you give me 3 seconds, you're going to find out why I want to talk about Iowa.
Are you looking at who they're playing?
They're playing Western Michigan. Okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
here's the point. I got you. This is 3:30 BTN. Iowa is a 28.5 point favorite. Tell me what's wrong with that line.
28.5 point favorite. I don't know that they can score 28 points.
They can't score 29 points. They can't. Are you telling me this Iowa team is... There's no way.
And you have to score more if Western has that scripted first drive touchdown.
Western is going to kick a field goal on the first drive, and Iowa can't get up there. They're going to win. It'll be another Iowa football game. But I'm not a betting man, like we've talked about so many times. But if I was, I'm throwing the house on Western Michigan plus 28.5. Because Iowa cannot score that many points point blank.
They need to score too, because they have this little, I don't know if you've seen it. Someone's doing it. But they have to have this like little Price is Right looking ladder graphic, and they are well under what they need to be so far to score. What did you say it was, 325?
As a 25 points a game, that's what's going to save Brian Ferentz's job.
Yeah, they have some work to do. Looking at the schedule, the only other games, we talk about those teams near the top 10. You're just looking to see what they have. A Joe Milton in Tennessee, they do travel to Florida.
That's probably the best game of the week.
Right, and Florida looks pretty rough so far.
Yeah,
but
Mertz is not working out down there.
Still a tough environment to play in. Really, other than that, there's just not a whole lot of exciting games on the schedule. I mean, a Wyoming beat a Texas Tech. Can they go in and, disrupt Texas? That would be the game Texas has trouble with, right? Classic Texas is back until the next week. I just think they're too good this year to be able to do that. And then, a lot of people with game day, and I think Big Noon being there. Big Noon might just do all the Colorado games this year, by the way. You might not even see him for Michigan, Ohio State at this rate.
No, Gus Johnson is buying real estate in Boulder right now.
He already has. There's no way he hasn't. But, that's apparently a big one, enough to take game day and Big Noon there, Colorado State at Colorado. I think it will be a blowout, but, one that everybody's talking about just because we don't stop talking about Colorado, at least so far in the season.
Why would we?
10 p.m., by the way. Early game day for a late game.
That's going to suck. That'll be really cool to watch, though. Because that'll be 6 a.m. local time?
Yeah, wow. Good for them.
9 Eastern? That'll be really cool to see. We forgot maybe the most exciting game of the week, actually, which is the Michigan Wolverines host the Bowling Green Falcons. Okay, this is a 7:30 kick on BTN. A lot of eyes are going to be on this one, Derek. I don't know what the Wolverines are going to pull out of their sleeve to make this one work, but what are you looking for?
More of a running game. I mean, again, I'd love to see JJ throw the ball around, continue to be as efficient, rack up as many passing yards as he can, go after that single season touchdown record of 25. Would love to see, someone like Roman Wilson continue to be the leader in receiving touchdowns. But I would like to see a big run from whether it's a Blake Corum or Donovan Edwards. Would love to see a back go over 100 yards. And I would like to see a couple of turnovers, Michigan's defense forcing turnovers. I think they knocked the ball loose and UNLV recovered it. But, I really like that Mikey Sainsdale interception. It really felt like it was going to, get the defense going this year. Liked in week two, obviously, the amount of sacks. So give me some big plays in the running game, a couple of big takeaways from the Michigan defense, and I think you'll have, what should be maybe a little bit more exciting of a game just because of the new lights. It's a night game, and hopefully people show out. The students are always the ones you can't rely on for these games, especially early in the season. But, 7:30, as long as the weather stays fair, I think you'll see a pretty good atmosphere, at least for the first half. And so that should bring some excitement into Michigan Stadium.
Here's a Roman Wilson question for you. With the caveat that we are two games in and that I think as Michigan gets into the tougher part of the schedule, you're going to see them lean more and more on a running game that I still believe is absolutely going to develop and be reliable. At the end of the season, do you think there's any chance that we're sitting here saying, like, gosh, if it wasn't for Marvin Harrison Jr., Roman Wilson would be getting so much love right now in the Big Ten and nationally? Do you think it's one of those situations? Can you see that happening?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it really just depends what kind of connection they develop. And I think more than anything, and Marvin Harrison is going to get his flowers just because of what he's already done. But when you have a good quarterback and a quarterback that is a potential Heisman caliber quarterback, which it's, you know, it's a Heisman award, is a quarterback award these days. You, when they have one go-to receiver, which so far, you know, a steady mix between Cornelius Johnson and Roman Wilson, but touchdown wise, you know, all Roman Wilson, as long as he can continue some sort of clip of highlight plays and touchdowns, I think he could be in the conversation as, you know, wide out of the year. But I just don't know with the just the name Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, the pedigree comes from. And then the fact that he's already, you know, had big major games, including a big one already this year. Yeah, you're going to live in the shadow of, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. for sure, even if Roman Wilson, you know, scored another two touchdowns next week. So it's going to be hard to kind of take over the popularity at the wide receiver position, at least in the Big Ten. But definitely, I think he's turning some heads. You know, he's a speedy guy. He's healthy. And he's, you know, finding a way to keep that connection with J.J. McCarthy going and has made for some exciting pass plays so far.
For this game for Michigan, I don't think I'm looking for anything in particular other than more of the same. I want to see the running game continue to develop. I want to see J.J. McCarthy continue to look really comfortable and in command. I want to see continued a pass rush and a clamp down defense on at the corner spots and in the secondary. That stuff we've seen through the first two games, give me more of it. That's really all. In general, you know, it's what the score has been 33 and then 37-7. I mean, that give me something like that again. That's perfect. Take us into, you know, the conference part of the schedule with three comfortable, you might even say boring wins, but you're totally fine with that. So for a prediction, Derek, I'm going to throw it to you first. Michigan, a 40.5 point favorite. The over-under is 53.5. I don't think Michigan has covered through the first two games. I probably should have pulled that up, but I don't think they have.
0-2 against
the
spread. Is this
the game they do it?
Prediction here. Again, okay. Just like last week, I don't think we...
Does Michigan get to 40?
Yeah, I got Michigan 41, and I'm going to go 41-7. So I think Michigan, you know, I guess that, you know, whether a touchdown and miss extra point, which we did see in week one, or a couple of field goals, you know, I'm hoping for a little bit more of an even more explosive first half, and then at least, you know, some drives late if it gets out of hand where, you know, the second team unit can get down the field far enough to allow the kicker to, you know, get some more experience. And so I'll go 41-7, I think Bowling Green. You know, as Jack Harbaugh said, they're coming around to kick Michigan's ass. So, you know, big Bowling Green guy, Jack Harbaugh.
Can we say that?
That's what he said. I'm just, you know, I'm just repeating Mr. Jack Harbaugh. Actually, I'm repeating what Jim Harbaugh said about Jack Harbaugh. Okay. But, you know, we'll mark this one explicit if we have to. But, yeah, I got 41-7. Finally get to the 40 mark. But, yeah, not enough to cover the 40.5 spread, which I think you make a great point when you mention Iowa. You know, it's easy to poke fun at Iowa, but, you know, Michigan State fans will tell you Michigan State's the better team this year because they have covered the spread twice and Michigan hasn't. And I don't think Ohio State has either. But 40.5 is tough when Michigan hasn't scored 40 on the season. That means you can't really give up points. And there are definitely, you know, there's definitely less plays this year compared to last year all over college football. So though you can have a USC, you know, go big play first half and score a bunch, Michigan's kind of moving at a slower pace, not really in a hurry, just trying to get the win, stay healthy, and get their head coach back. So, yeah, 41-7 for me.
Give me 38-3. I'm basing this basically off of the first two games because I just remember looking at the non-conference schedule and thinking, wow, like Michigan's non-conference slate is one, very weak, but two, like all three teams kind of seem to be in the same realm, you know, in terms of talent, position, and the different power ranking metrics that you can go find. Like that stuck out to me. And Michigan has played two really similar games against these non-conference teams. So just give me a third. Like, that's probably the easiest thing to do here. And 38-3 feels pretty right. I hesitate to hold Bowling Green out of the end zone just because I feel like we've talked about before, it really doesn't take a whole lot, especially when you get your like second and third team out there for – you know, there's a busted play and Bowling Green's running 70 yards down the field, something like that. But I think 38-3 feels pretty right. Do you? I mean, I'm not very far off of that, so I'm asking you if you agree, and I just assume you're going to say yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I think, you know, whether it's that scripted first couple of possessions and they just find a weak spot in Michigan's defense before Michigan adjusts, or like you said, you know, the way UNLV scored, or the sad field goal from ECU, you're gonna find a way to get points likely against Michigan's second and third strings, especially if, you know, your backup quarterback comes in and throws an interception. You know, Michigan had a drive stall like they did a week ago. They had the interception drive with a backup quarterback. You know, it's definitely easy to see how they could get more points than they've been putting up, but I think we're right in the ballpark of just how the season's played out. But yeah, you know, we'd both love to see more. And that's kind of my, you know, my one question that I meant to ask, and we'll do so now. If you look at last year, Michigan put up 50 plus, near 60 against Hawaii and UConn. I feel like, I don't want to call them the average fan or a fair weather fan or, you know, the early season fan, whatever you want to name it. It feels like a lot of people come out of these Michigan games so far, you know, pretty disappointed. Do you think any of it has to do with, you know, the fact that they won 51-7 last year, 56-10, 59-0? And does that bother you at all that they're not, you know, scoring in the 50s so far?
No, it doesn't bother me because, like I talked about earlier, I think if you look at the quarterback position, one, you know who the quarterback is, which wasn't true through the first two games of last season. And then the second thing is that JJ McCarthy looks comfortable more than he does electric. You know, the electricity is there, you know, the big play stuff, all of that. It's there. Cool. Fine. But like, how are you commanding an offense? And he has looked so good on that part through the first two games that it's not like Michigan's kind of clunking its way to 35 points or whatever. They're looking really good and efficient, and big credit to defense too for making sure that Michigan in the 30-point range feels comfortable, you know, to pull starters and that kind of thing like you would expect in these early season games. So as far as it bothering me, maybe if other people, I would say, overreact to just the scoreboard, maybe a little bit. What I'd rather see is sort of like we did last week, a nitpick. Like, you know, we were talking about the pass rush and we're neither of us are alarmists on anything like that. And like I said last week, it's very good when you can come back from a win and say, you know, there are these like two or three really specific things I noticed that Michigan might need to shore up. That means your program's in a great position. So it, you know, bothers me, I guess, a little bit, but I also, I'm not going to take the side that says there can be no criticism of a, you know, good winning team, because yeah, like you should be able to find a couple things to nitpick and say, well, that's, you know, an area where Michigan can get better.
I mean, the only thing I'll add is I think if people are looking at last year's box scores, you know, there's a lot of box score fans out there. you had a quarterback competition, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, JJ McCarthy was going to come in the second half of that first game last year, and, you know, they're going to let him throw it. They're going to, you know, keep the ones out there. And I think you nailed it when you said, you know, these games are so comfortable, 30 to nothing, 35 to nothing. The scores have been very late for the two opponents that there's just no need to keep guys out there. There's probably not even a need for McCarthy to run as many times as he did against UNLV. I think they're just allowing that, you know, they're just, you know, sprinkling some things in as you get closer and closer to conference play. Because what happened last year, even though you won by, you know, 50 plus in some of these games, yeah, it feels like you squeaked one out against Maryland. That was one that was way, way closer than you wanted it to be. So, yeah, I've never been a big box score guy. Obviously you want your team to have more points than the opponent, but it was a good game to be at for the first half. You kind of expected the second half to go down the way it did. And so for me, you know, same expectation, at least this next week, if not even the week after that. So it'll be interesting either way though.
Yes, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time as always. I don't know why anybody would live their life on another time zone, to be honest with you. But that's BTN, Bowling Green. We'll get back next week. And if you can believe it, Derek, we'll be talking about the conference season, which starts on the 23rd against Rutgers. Thank God it's a noon kick. Or maybe you prefer 3:30. We can debate that next week either way. So we'll see you next week. Take care out there. Go Blue.
Go Blue.